Testing, testing, hot out, bound car. 1, 2, 3, 4.
You want to hear?
Are you ready?
Make the approach. Plant your feet firmly in the ground. Head down. Eyes on the ball. Relax. That's it. Get your left arm straight. Your right arm straight. Relax. Lower your right shoulder. Go!
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you Ernesto de Quisas of the world?
You made it through.
I did. Yeah, I rehearsed it like 3 times.
And you blew it all together.
I did, yeah. You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal, Louis Fats.
I'm not a fussy man. Just some soup, roast chicken with stuffing, rice, a little salad on the side. A little dessert and coffee. That was a continuation from last week.
Yeah. The only discussion-based comedy podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Yeah. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a positive review. The home base is non-productive.com/honeymooners. You can get all the episodes, 1 through 73.
Yeah.
And you can listen to any of many time right there. Also, go on Facebook and look up Honeymooners Podcast and like our Facebook page. And also, we have a Honeymooners Twitter account. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 240-442-2635. Leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the air. Or if you want to email us at
bangzoom1956@gmail.com.
And what's happening, Lou?
Joe, number 74. I got a good 74 for you. I didn't tell you who it was. I'm going to go back a little ways here.
Okay.
All right. Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen,
yeah,
from the Rams,
the LA Rams. Listen to this. 15 years.
15.
That's you on that hall. 14 years in a row Pro Bowl.
Really?
So he's tied. I don't know if he's tied, but basically the only guys that ever do that were Brady, Peyton Manning, and Tony Gonzalez. 14 straight years as being a Pro Bowler.
Really?
Yeah, that's Merlin Olsen. The only year he didn't make it was his 15th year. So he made it from his rookie year up to his 14th year.
Pro Bowler.
Hall of Famer, obviously.
Obviously.
And he was part of the Fearsome Foursome.
Fearsome Foursome,
with
yes.
Deacon Jones, Rosie Greer, and Lamar Lundy.
I don't remember Lamar Lundy.
Yeah, Lamar Lundy. He was part of it.
No way.
Yeah, that's the Fearsome Foursome.
That's pretty cool. And he was very good on Little House on the Prairie.
I was just going to say, he was also an actor. It was Little House on the Prairie. And when he left that, he went to Father Murphy.
I don't remember.
It was a show. I don't remember. I never saw it.
Was it an 80s show?
I guess right after Little House.
Must have been late
70s.
Right,
yeah, right after Little House. He left that and went right to his own.
Was that his own, like a TV?
That was his own. Like, he was I think he was the main guy. He was probably Father Murphy.
Oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Father Olsen. That's why I did not know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the record either that there were people that 14 years in a
14
row.
14 years, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That is great.
Yeah.
And I think, and wasn't he, he also did broadcasting.
Yes, he did.
Dick Enberg.
Dick Enberg, yes.
I love those two.
Oh,
they
Dick
used to
Enberg
always do the
great.
AFC games.
The AFC games.
So
yep.
As a kid, I would watch them. They would sometimes do Jet games.
Yep. Yep. Oh, I love Dick
Enberg. I like those two. They were good.
Oh, my.
Now,
Dick Enberg.
Did Merlin Olsen, is he still alive?
I don't know.
I think he passed away.
Okay,
he
may
have. I think he passed away a few years ago.
Well, being alive, he probably passed away.
Well, right.
You don't have much choice.
Yeah, there's not much. He's in limbo.
I'd Google it if I knew how to use Google. I'll have to Google. So anyway, Merlin Olsen,
number 74.
The Los Angeles Rams.
Very cool.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, before we get started, first of all, we want to tell you about, before we skip the, but we want to let you know about our great sponsor. The show is sponsored by Silk City Hot Sauce. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com. Get yourself some great hot sauce with weird names.
Yep.
That's how we got to promote it from now on.
Yeah.
It's great hot sauce with weird names. And they're homemade, so can't harm you, pal. Nope. And
it's all homemade.
I have become a hot sauce fan.
Yeah, Joe.
Now that I'm doing, I like Slurp.
Yep.
And the other one that's like a Mango Madness.
Mango Madness.
Love it.
Well, you like them jokes kind of on the mild side.
Right. They're not, but like, it's, you know, got a little bit of a kick.
You're not
going to
do, like, yeah, you're not do like that cartoon red face and your head explodes. You know.
Yeah, yeah, where the thermostat
that goes up.
Know,
yeah,
head
yeah,
becomes
yeah,
a thermostat.
Yeah.
But that's not me. But they do have some pretty hot stuff.
Yeah, well, Beta's juice pretty hot.
Yes.
That's like the blend of a lot of peppers.
Oh, okay.
So
is that what it is?
It's got a little kick to it, yeah. So when you make your Bloody Mariams, you'll know. You'll feel it.
Bloody Mariam. I still love that joke. So anyway, go to Silk City Hot Sauce, right? Look for any of the hot sauces you want. I like those, Badass Jew. There's so many.
Yeah, look, got it going.
Then when you purchase them, when you go to the checkout, there's a little coupon thing in the corner. You put in RX, and when you do that, you get 15% off of your order, plus a free bottle of Cherry Sriracha. That's just to let them know that you heard it from us.
That's right.
And it helps us a little bit. Yeah. It helps support the show.
Yeah, heard so, it here first.
SilkCityHotSauce.com. It's our pal, Jeff Kingfish Levinsky, who is a raccoon just like us, big honeymooners guy.
Yep.
Father was in Ralph. Father had some of the old the table and chairs from the 60s version.
And it wasn't a present from his grandfather.
Wasn't
from
his
grandmother.
Get ready.
There you go. Dusty out in that hall.
This hall's
so far.
Very dusty. Yeah, I usually get three
we
or four.
Into, yeah, we didn't get to the show yet.
I know.
We got two dusties in that, out in that hall. All right, so we're good. We're going to Dusty out in that hall. Let's keep it square here.
So, now, was there anything from last week? I don't think there was anything from last week that we wanted to...
To go, no, Joe,
yeah,
I don't think
nothing,
no, I don't
right?
think anything. We had to go back. We
yeah,
don't have, to,
we,
don't
we,
have
we,
to correct ourselves.
No, we don't have to correct ourselves. But so what we want to do is we got like three main things we want to get to today.
Three things.
Okay. First thing. Oh, boy, I forgot. We're going to do a couple. We're going to do two of them today.
Yeah, this is unusual.
Yeah. Well, actually, last week we did a double.
That's right. Oh, you did.
The,
yeah.
Of the, you know, the, for this.
We don't want to say it.
I know.
Hear ye, verily, hear ye. The Honeymooners Podcast now presents Ad Lib or Not an Ad Lib. That is the question.
Oh, my pal Dave Ingram.
Oh, great.
Just fantastic.
Oh, I laugh every time.
Oh, every time.
Every time.
We're like children.
Yeah.
We just, you know, like watching a cartoon.
We are.
Well, yeah, it's true.
I still laugh at the Three Stooges. And I'm almost 65 years old.
Okay, so we got two ad libs we want to test out real quick. One came from a listener.
Yeah.
I forget if it was.
I don't want to say the name because I'll screw
I
it up.
I think I forgot. I am.
All right.
I apologize, and you know who you are.
We can mention it next week.
Yeah, we'll try to mention it next week.
Yeah, we visit this week.
He always he mentioned a couple times. He was wondering if from Dial J, when Ralph goes outside because Mr. Johnson's losing his mind.
Yeah, losing his mind.
And Ralph goes outside to talk to him, and when Alice comes in, Norton does this.
One way or another, I'm going to get you and you out of this building!
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Johnson. Don't get upset. I'm sure that I can straighten
this. What's going on here?
Nothing, sweetheart. Would you step out into the hall with me, Mr. Johnson? I'm sure I can straighten this whole thing out.
Ed!
Hello.
What's there to straighten out?
Johnson straightened out. Oh, I don't know. He's mad. He's mad at Ralph and me. We're too tough on his precious janitors.
That is... that's the first one, okay? And that... I don't know. It's a tough one to tell if it was an ad-lib.
Yeah.
Because it's obviously not any type of words.
Yeah, I mean, how could you write that in a script? I don't know how to spell it.
Y-A-B-A.
Like yabba-dabba-do or something.
Yabba-dabba-do. Right.
Right, spell that out.
So I don't... It could have been an ad lib because they might have just said, "Yeah, just be frustrated."
Yeah,
you know, to Art Carney.
Yes,
and so in that regard, it might have been like an ad lib, like you know, man, he would have been like, yeah.
So basically, Joe, you're saying it's written in, but not in a written word. It's like
right.
giving him the leeway. Give them the carte blanche.
Right.
All right, Ed, just say something here.
Maybe they did it in rehearsal, and maybe they said,
oh, perfect. That's, there you go.
That's it. And I think he moves both. Doesn't he do with both
hands? I think he does the both hands, like the swoosh with the both hands.
Yeah, that total disgust. So we think it's a tough one.
I'm going to say what you just brought up before, saying it's kind of written in, but giving him the leeway to do what he wanted to
do. Right.
So like, make it up, and he, of course, being Art Carney.
Of course.
He made it great.
Destroys it, of course. In a good way.
In a good way, you know what I mean.
I think it's one of those, it's an ad lib, but it's not quite an ad lib.
I'm on the fence with this one.
Yeah. So you're welcome. He's like, I wanted to know what you guys thought. And we give him the,
could be.
Could be, Rabbit. Could be. Take the boys and surround the house.
Might be. You might.
So it's in between, you know, because it's not really an actual line.
No, I was just saying.
It's just a frustrated harumph.
Yeah, it's like a harumph. So that's probably it. I would say so. In that case, it's Norton ad-libbing,
right?
Just putting in his own line,
right?
But it's probably could be written in, but not word for word, not verbatim. It's
blurb for blurb,
blurb for blurb, half for half.
So that's the one.
That's one.
Okay. And oddly enough, I just realized this. The two that we have, and both of them kind of not really words.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Second one.
So here's the second one.
Okay.
And this one is from the loudspeaker.
Loudspeaker.
Great episode. And this is when Ralph first tells Ed that he is going to become Raccoon of the Year. Mm-hmm. And here we go.
One way or another, I'm going to get you and you out of this.
And that's not the one.
That's not the one.
Here we go.
But the man is standing in this room.
No kidding.
You're kidding.
Really?
You're
kidding. That's right. No kidding. Me, Ralph. Raccoon of the Year. It's such a shock. I never dreamed of this, Ralph. I'm not worthy of it. I'm so young. There must be other people more deserving than me, Ralph.
Oh,
even you.
Shut up. It's not you, you dope. It's me.
Well, that's even a worse church than me.
Regardless, I'm the one they pick.
Oh, regardless.
That ain't anything anyway. It ain't anything. Just a minute ago, you were going, hey, me. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I go, ooh, ooh.
You went, oh, God.
Now, we remember talking about this once.
Yeah, we did.
We were just trying to figure out, like, what was going on with that.
Yeah.
But when he goes, oh, you, ooh.
It's me. Ooh.
Right. So what we were saying is we think Ralph or Gleason went, ooh.
Yeah, because I think the ooh, if there's an ad lib here, yeah. I think it's the ooh.
Right.
It's
Gleason saying... Cause you know he would have been like, you were going me.
Yeah, just end it right there. With the end, right there. Because he has to say something there,
right,
for Norton to do his next line,
right.
But I think I think the ooh is part of an ad lib. I think Ralph,
and I think Art Carney just added to it.
Embellished
and
on
went,
it.
I didn't go, and, ooh.
And it gets his, again, an ad-lib.
He looks so funny when he's doing it.
But it's an ad-lib that gets a tremendous laugh.
Right.
The ad-libs, Joe, that we've covered up to now, some of them have gotten the biggest laugh in the show.
Yeah.
So this one, I'm thinking, in my opinion, the ooh part of it is ad-lib.
It's almost a double ad-lib.
Yeah.
It's Gleason throwing in ooh.
Because
he said me.
Yeah. Which is probably the line. Probably the line. Because then Norton has to follow up with, it's nothing anyway.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And me, a minute ago, you're like, it's me. You know, then it continues on. But the ooh. That could be an ad lib. I love it.
Especially because they're both like so, like almost primitive when they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know? Me, ooh.
You're like,
and then when Carney just goes nuts. He's like, I didn't go ooh, 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 ooh. And he's like so and passionate
you
about
went,
it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
You went ooh, ooh, ooh. You went ooh, ooh, ooh.
So it's like two children, basically. You think about it, two children, you know, arguing, and then which is what they are anyway. They're they're two children,
Two adult children,
adult children. So I think so. People out there on the page, email. What do you think?
Yeah,
in these two scenes, the ooh ooh ooh,
yeah, ad lib number one,
ad lib number one,
which
was,
is and ad lib number two is ooh ooh ooh.
So
ad lib or
not ad lib, which is the question.
Literally, literally, hear ye.
So just write in and let us know what you think.
Okay.
Yes. No, remember, there's no definitive answer here.
No.
It's what you think.
Even though we're right.
Yeah, we're always right.
Okay. So now, the second thing we want to do, and this, I came up with this because of the Facebook groups when they would, you know, they pose a question in the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And they always said, what's your least favorite episode?
Right.
And so many people said Young Man with
a
horn.
We've discussed this many times before.
Right, we've discussed
this. It comes up.
And we were like, well, it's a great, I like the episode. It's a funny episode.
Yep.
But they say it's very sad, and it's got a sad ending. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? It's got a sad ending? So what we did was we took three episodes that we feel could be considered somewhat sad endings.
Now,
right,
it's supposed to be a comedy show.
Right.
Well, don't worry. We'll try to get something funny. I'm just saying, Young Man with a Horn does have great lines in it. I like the Better with a Sock in It.
Of course.
I like You Better with a Little Sock in You.
Right.
Stand Back, Ed. It's going to be messy. You Lively Messy.
Your
Lively
will be messy.
So
I Want to Keep It.
I Want to Keep It. Tender Memories. It's
Toes.
There's great lines.
Yeah, there's some really,
great
really
lines. The only problem is all the great lines are in one little scene. I
True.
Think that's one of the problems with the show, with the episode, is
right.
that there is the concentration of the lines are all together. They're like boom, 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 and then there's kind of a lull of comedy.
Right.
It turns basically sad.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's what we're going to cover today.
Okay, so we're going to play the ending of Young Man with a Horn, and this is after Ralph finds out he didn't pass the test
right.
for his civil service job, and I told Louis this. When I first really started getting into the Honeymooners, this was one of the lines that Norton said that resonated with me. Not for any particular reason,
but I just
thought it was so funny. That and 111 and this were two that I was like, wow, this is really, really funny. And Fickled Finger of Fate.
Great, yeah.
So we'll, this one's a little long, so we'll go. Here we go.
Ralph.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything, Alice. I know how you feel.
It's after the Fickle Finger.
Yeah, after Fickle Finger.
You know how I feel.
Hangnails on.
You know how I feel.
Boy, what a moax I am. I'm going to make good. I'm going to list all my weak points, and I'm going to list all my strong points. I'm going to be a success. I'm not going to be a failure anymore. Boy, that's a laugh.
No, it's not a laugh. The new Ralph Cramden is a wonderful man. And what he's done in the past few weeks, Ralph, isn't foolish and it isn't a lot of malarkey. And I'm not going to let you tear him down just because you had one disappointment. Don't you see, Ralph, you can't win the very first time. You got to keep trying and trying. So you didn't pass the test the first time. There's always next year and the year after. I like the new Ralph Cramden, and I'm not going to let you give up. And if the old Ralph Cramden ever shows his face around here
again, I'm divorcing him.
I am going to hit him right on top of the head with this cornet.
It'll be one of the tender memories.
You know something?
With that sock in it.
I did hit that high note once. The day I married.
He's going to go blowing a bugle.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, Ralph, blowing your own horn. Blowing your horn.
Maybe he should have put that
in
the
basement. Well, that's a little piece of it, Alex.
Okay. So that is one of the sad endings that are kind of You know, I guess it's debatable, but you know, he says I hit the high note with you, which kind of shows that they, you know, they're together and they love each other.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the job. The job he wanted, he didn't get the job.
Yeah, really.
So that's one of them. You can argue it.
I think too, Joe. You were waiting for something funny here,
right?
Kind of like our show.
Yeah.
Waiting for something funny and it never happened.
Right.
I'm saying, and there were people waiting for something funny and it doesn't happen. It's sad. It's sad on all.
It's true.
Accounts.
Because if you think about it, the last funny thing that was said was where a couple of hangnails on the fickle finger of fate.
Yeah.
And there's another 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, you know, then Norton walks up crying.
Right, which is funny.
That's funny, but he's crying. But he's also
sad funny.
Exactly. It's a sad funny. So he walks out crying, which Norton's always crying anyway. So
that
really doesn't resonate much, Norton crying.
Right.
Like if Ralph broke down and cried, you're like, oh my God, what the heck's happening? Norton's always crying, so it doesn't matter.
You don't see that.
You don't see that. You don't see that.
We should do an episode of all the times that he cries.
Yeah,
we should do that.
Okay.
That's for sure.
All right, we'll write that down.
That'll be a 45-minute episode just for those.
I'll jot that down.
Write it down on a piece of paper.
Jot it down.
So that's the first one.
Yeah.
And, it's. I don't think it's, like, the episode isn't sad. It's just, the ending is kind of eh.
Now, you said, and you're of the opinion, I believe, that people don't like it because it is sad.
Yes, that's what they all say.
It's not because of the content of the show.
They say it's a sad episode.
It's just a sad episode. They don't like it.
They don't like the fact that Ralph, like, didn't get the job and all that, but still, he fails in every episode.
Everything. I mean, we laugh at him failing in his investments.
Nobody ever says funny money is sad.
No, they don't say funny money.
He
lost his job, you know.
And he got it the next week, of course. He got it back.
Had to bring his suits back. Oh, no, he couldn't because there's no elephants. But there's other things in there that aren't, they're funny.
Right.
But this is like, I don't know, this is maybe too real. Well, the other ones are a little like on the bizarre side. Like,
and it's
cartoonish. Yeah, cartoonish situation, comedy-ish.
Right.
You know, where things aren't.
Yeah, who finds $50,000 in cash?
Yeah.
Where this, you're right, Lou, this is true. It probably hits home to, look, everybody has had a failure.
Oh, God, yeah.
So it hits home.
I had one once. It's called birth.
I had one. It was last week. We have to talk about that. So it's like maybe that's what it is. People think it's too. It was too. Too real.
It's too real. I was gonna say it's too real.
Yeah.
Think about this. It's real. It's not like it's almost like a drama. It's like a TV drama instead of this comedy that it's supposed to be.
He didn't stitch a chicken to his shirt.
Right, exactly, yeah.
What's that, and burned the chicken. Yeah. And he burned the chicken.
He burned the chicken in 2 seconds.
In 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But, and I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
So
it's like, I'm waiting to laugh, and you're not making me laugh. You're making me very uncomfortable watching this.
Yeah.
You know.
Like I said, I don't have a problem with it. But I understand what people are saying.
Yes. Not one of my favorites.
No.
But there is that little thing there with the, like I just mentioned before, with the sock in it. Like you better.
That whole thing. Gabriel.
You know, it's great. The part with the cornet is great.
Yes.
It's great. Good comedy right there. But the problem is the comedy ends too early.
But actually, there is that one little piece in the middle again with Don't Speak French.
The list.
You have that.
Yeah, we do have the list. The list is great. The list is great.
And then after that, that's where it kind of falls off the edge a little bit.
Because
it just, there's nothing. There's just the sadness.
Yeah.
The realization that Ralph is
a mope.
A mokes.
Or a mokes, as he
mokes
says.
Mokes or mope, whatever it is.
Mokes,
depending on how much he drank that day. So, let's go with our second one. We have three.
Yeah, three. I mean,
you know,
three's enough.
We pick three.
I mean, I'm saying this isn't like everything. This isn't the definitive list.
It's no.
We're just picking out three.
Yeah, we picked out three.
Just for the podcast sake.
And this one is the loudspeaker, and this is when Ralph finds out that he's not going to be Raccoon of the Year.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's almost, if you didn't know what it was, you came from another planet and just started watching it right at that point, you would think this is a drama.
Yeah.
A drama from the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's very dramatic.
Yes.
He's just great. His facial expressions, you know, emoting.
Acting.
And then
he's acting.
He really is.
Yeah.
And then
Audrey mm-hmm. doing the great Alice Cramden,
yes.
being behind him mm-hmm. and showing real empathy
yes.
for him.
Yep.
So here we go. The loudspeaker.
Ralph, I know how you must feel.
The music doesn't help either.
No, really.
I know how much you wanted to win that Raccoon of the Year award.
We have a few bars of Swami River.
And how hard it must be for you to find out that you're not getting it.
Swami River.
But there's always next year, Ralph. And another Raccoon of the Year award. And you know something, Ralph? I bet you'll win it. And even if you don't, Ralph, there's something else that I want to tell you. You'll always be Raccoon of the Year around this house.
Thanks.
Really? That makes me feel a whole lot better. I'm going to jump off McCluskey's building.
Okay.
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 Where are you going, Ralph?
I'm going upstairs. Norton will have to make a speech, and I want to tell him the joke I wrote. He'll be a riot with this joke.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So... that one again, it kind of fizzles at the
yeah,
end. It
yeah.
doesn't, and it just kind of it just hangs there.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that would be another one that's like sad ending, bad ending, something you know,
yeah.
you know
yeah.
whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's sad because you see those two just great acting.
Yeah.
You know, just mm-hmm. having this emotional moment in a sitcom.
Yeah.
A goofy sitcom
yeah.
about a loud bus driver and his goofy sidekick.
Yep.
And they're having this real moment between a husband and a wife.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, there are funny things. We used our ad lib or not. It's me. Ooh, ooh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Ooh.
So,
yeah, it's same
funny thing is, same episode. But the thing, too, is when Ralph walks out, and just in the tone of his voice, you could see it has nothing to do with telling Norton the joke.
No.
He's just saying that to get over or get away, just
right.
get away
just
from
get,
Alice,
yeah.
you know, because yeah. they really, Alice, thank you for your words, but they are empty.
Yeah.
I don't care what the hell. I don't care about being a Raccoon of the Year at 328 Chauncey
right.
Street.
And maybe that's why they didn't do the, because that we were saying that might have been a good place for, you know what, baby, you're the greatest.
You're the greatest.
Because you just said, I am the
Raccoon of the Year
in around yeah. this house.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there was very subtle, like, thanks, but... it doesn't really help.
I wanted to be Raccoon of the Year.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, if I get a chance to play Carnegie Hall and they're like, no, you're going to play at a restaurant in Morris Plains called Tiff's for 45 people. I'll be like, well, it was a good show.
Oh, yeah.
Honey, you know, my wife's like, honey, it was a really good show. We got a couple of good, you know, videos. And yeah, it's not Carnegie Hall.
Oh, yeah, really? Exactly.
Exactly. We'll talk about that when we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
But yeah, so I see, and you know what? It makes sense. It wouldn't have been a good spot for Baby of the Greatest because it didn't help him at the time.
No,
it was wonderful, a wonderful gesture, a great thing for a wife to do.
Right.
But it just at that moment,
you said the exact right thing right there. It wouldn't have helped because he's still sad, and Baby, You're the Greatest would have been nothing.
Yeah,
he still wants to be Raccoon of the Year.
Still wants to be,
and you could tell. When he goes, I'm gonna be a riot with this joke. You could tell in the tone of his voice.
Yeah. He's still dejected.
He's dejected. It's not that loud Ralph.
Yeah, it's not like, you know what?
Wait a minute, I gotta get upstairs to talk about this joke. He's gonna kill him with this joke.
No, he wasn't over it.
He wasn't over it. And we know the joke's awful. Number one. And, you know, he can't even get the thing right. All he tells it to Norton right. Because he couldn't get it right. On a trip. Give me another word for trip. Go on a message or whatever.
Go on a message. Yeah, because whenever I look at trip and in a thesaurus, message comes up.
Yeah, like Sir Launcelot, you know.
So, Launcelot.
You know, Sir Arthur, King Arthur. You know, so the joke is awful. And you could just see, hear the dejection in his voice. His voice becomes... oh my God! It's like almost like childish. His voice becomes child from that booming Ralph Cramden voice. It comes way down.
Yep,
to almost a child's, an innocent child's voice. He's
so
dejected. So
dejected,
and that's the sadness of this episode.
Yep. All right,
and the sadness of this podcast.
All right, and now the third and last
people
one.
People out there crying right
now. Yeah, I know.
He's like turned into this thing to laugh.
I know.
These two idiots. It's
a bunch of Honeymooner funny. Fans yeah. weeping onto their iPads. Okay, so last one is
thank God.
Yeah, and plus this one is Louis's least favorite ending of all 39.
Joe's gonna turn off my earphones.
Yeah,
when
I'm gonna
get to
turn it off. Yeah, Louis's not gonna hear it. And this is from Hello Mom.
Oh God. No.
Yeah, yeah. And this is right after. Well, we have him read a little bit
of the
note because I couldn't do that to Lou.
No, don't.
I couldn't allow Lou to listen to this whole thing.
If it wasn't in the air conditioner in the window, I'd jump out.
Or at least throw a bag of water
out the window. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
If a person could put themselves in their mother-in-law's place,
oh, God.
Weigh her in the balance, be completely fair, they'd nominate her for the presidency of the United States.
Hear ye.
And she'd be the first woman to make it.
Probably one of those podcasts.
It's pretty good. Who wrote it?
You did.
Hilly Valley, hear ye.
It's my mother, Ralph.
Thank you, Joe.
15 years ago when we were on our honeymoon.
So now he realizes he wrote this thing and
Like
feels like an idiot because he doesn't remember writing it.
Going out for a little air.
Going out for a little air. So
long, sweetheart.
Not only is it a sad ending, but it's a go ahead, Lou, say it. It's just a terrible
ending. Awful.
It's
keep it
Lou,
keep it clean. It's
and you know how much we love the show. We never disrespect this show. Everything is always done with love.
Love. Everything's
but this,
done with love.
Lou is
except
right.
This one.
Except for what? This.
Love has its limits.
Yeah, Lou is like, this is the worst ending
ever.
And up until that point, it's a good episode.
It's a good episode.
Yep.
It moves. Oh, dusty on that hall.
Dusty on that hall.
Really dusty on that hall. It moves.
Yes.
It's got good pace.
Yep.
He's a nut.
Yep.
You know, so this is what's going on. So it's actually a good episode.
Because he's almost ranting the entire episode.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. It's one of those rant episodes.
It's a rant episode.
Rant episode, I think. <they said.
laughs> Rant episode.
Rant episode. Okay.
Apparently, Astro. I'm doing a thing with Astro from the Jetsons. So that's the third one. So the three probably
I'm clear we're cracking ourselves up. There are probably only two laughing.
Yeah, or they're not even listening now. They've already.
That's why we do this, basically. Yeah.
They're like, you know what? I'll just wait for episode 75. Yeah, well, hopefully these guys will get back to what they're doing.
A Mean Joe Green episode.
But, yeah, all right, because we're already at 30 minutes, so I want to get
going. Oh, yeah, we
got to
get going.
Yeah. So those are the three. Those are the three sad ones.
Yeah.
I think everybody
You know,
would
Joe,
agree.
There's a little chuckle at the end there. And he says, I'm going out for some air. It's like kind of like a, you know what they call that nervous laugh?
Yeah, that nervous laughter.
It
yeah.
comes from the audience. It's basically a nervous laugh. Like, say, I want to laugh. And is this supposed to be? Because now.
Because you're waiting. You're like,
you're waiting.
There's got to be something. Ooh, is that something funny?
Funny? Yeah, you and people don't know. They don't know. It's like they're anticipating. They want to laugh. It's coming from Gleason.
Right.
They want to laugh. And they do. It's a little, and it's very a nervous, very nervous laughter.
It's a very good point.
Yeah, so.
Very good point. Yeah. So. All right. Now, what we're going to do is we have...
And that bit...
Unbelievable. Okay. What we got is we wanted to do three... We're changing... We're doing... what is it? 180 degrees?
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to do...
What are we going to do?
Three of our favorite subtle...
Oh, yeah.
Fat jokes done by Ed Norton.
Ed Norton.
Okay.
Delivered by Ed Norton.
Delivered by Ed Norton. The first one is from On Stage. It's one of Louis's favorite fat jokes
of
all time.
My favorite Ed, and especially by Ed Norton. Because we were talking, me and Joe trying to put this together 3 minutes before the show. You see how well this show was put together.
Right.
We were talking about it, and we said, Joe, let's categorize them. Let's start with Ed Norton, Alice, and we thought they were the only two. But we figured Trixie's got a couple.
She's got a feel.
Two subtles.
Yep.
So Freddie Muller comes.
Freddie Muller does one. Yeah.
Charlie the photographer comes up with. So, let's categorize them. So we're going to start with Ed Norton.
Right. And Ed Norton's subtle ones because I believe we're going to do.
Oh, yeah. Because
we're going to do another top three.
Oh, God, yeah.
Of some really, really funny ones.
Now, this isn't the definitive list. These are just three that we picked out.
Yeah, they're three somewhat subtle, funny fat jokes.
Right.
And this first one is from On Stage, and it's when Mr. Fabersham is there, and you'll hear. Here we go.
Mr. Norton, did you notice when he came in how his voice filled this room?
I did notice that the room got a little crowded. I didn't realize.
I didn't really
uses his voice.
It's just so funny, and he delivers it so perfectly.
And the thing about obviously doing a podcast, you can't see Gleason's face, which in almost every fat joke, you actually, I mean, you're watching Norton because he's talking, right. He's speaking.
Yeah.
So always on, our eyes are always on you. It's like watching a football game. You watch the quarterback, you don't watch anything else going on.
Right.
So it's the same thing here, but you always have to watch Gleason's face when a fat joke, and this is, like Joe said, these are the subtle ones.
Yes.
And this is just my favorite.
Yeah.
When you just think about that line.
It's so funny. I did notice the room got a little crowded.
Crowded.
And the way he says crowded just makes the joke 10 times funnier.
I didn't know it was his voice. Think about that. It's brilliant.
It's a brilliantly subtle, hilarious joke.
Brilliant written line.
Yeah.
And brilliantly delivered as usual. As usual. Because it's a good joke.
Getting sick and tired of this Art Carney guy.
Yeah, you know, the guy really. You need somebody else in here.
He delivers. It's just ridiculous. He's just an amazing.
Perry Como.
Yes. All right, so we're going to go to our second one.
Yeah.
And this one is from Head of the House. And this is when they're, Mr. Martin is interviewing Ralph.
Right, right.
And Norton has another hilarious, subtle fat joke. Here we go.
This is Mr. Martin from Universal Magazine. This is my friend Ed Norton.
Oh, yes.
Tell you about.
How do you do that?
Well, I'm glad to have the chance to ask you some questions, Mr. Norton.
Well, if the category is Ralph Crampton, I'm willing to take a shot at the $64,000 question.
Well, let's see now. To begin with, your close friends?
Well, I am as close as anybody can get to Ralph Crampton.
In that secondary
We've known each other for a long time. Now, tell me, how long ago did you meet?
Oh, I'd say 150 pounds ago. You're a riot, man. A real riot.
All right, so... Obviously, I mean, everybody's listening knows the episode, and they know it, but the best part is when he tells the joke, it's hilarious.
Oh, great joke.
And there's that big laughter, but then it goes on a second wave. It doesn't even die out.
No, it doesn't.
It's Ralph's reaction to him.
Yes.
Which gets almost as big of a laugh as the joke.
It does, because the laughter actually goes up on the scale.
Yeah.
If you were like, on one of those sound scales.
Right.
You would hear, you would see the lines going up for the second laugh.
And then, of course, there's the third laugh, where's the second joke.
Second joke.
Where, which is really funny, too.
It's a great
joke. Anyway, he delivers it, 150 pounds ago.
Yeah, like.
It's just, it's Art Carney, and I gush over Art Carney. It's just ridiculous.
Those are my two favorites. Because it's East. Not using the word fat.
Right.
Like you use the word fat in some other place, like the fat chairman,
Right.
But this, there's no word. It's just, you're just, and it's before two strangers. If you get Fabersham, he's saying it to.
Oh, that's right.
And he's saying it to Mr. Martin.
Yeah, which probably is why he's even.
It's subtle.
It's subtle. Yeah. Right.
Right.
It's not in your face.
Right. It's not in people they know.
And
they know neither guy.
And it has to bug Ralph even more because he's in front of. He's in front of a reporter.
Reporter?
You know?
A guy he's doing a story on him.
How long have you known him? 150 pounds ago?
And then Ralph's face is just,
it's great.
Oh, you're a riot, Norton.
Absolutely hilarious.
Because actually, the you're a riot, Norton, it's like the second one actually got to Ralph. Oh, you're a riot, Norton.
Yes.
He held his tongue on the first one.
Right.
Then the second one.
Because the second one is a little less subtle because it's 150 pounds ago.
He's making a distinction there.
Yeah, so now he's really, really angry. Oh,
that's great.
Okay.
Oh, God, is that great.
Now, this one's quick.
Yeah.
And this last one, this is from Something Fishy.
Yeah.
And this one's subtle, but it does throw a number out there.
Yeah.
But it's the way Art Carney delivers it.
And
it's quick. It's after Ralph makes his big speech about women and their rights and this and that.
Yeah.
And they all hoot and holler for Ralph. And then Ed says this.
Well, Ralph, I got ahead of the rotten ping-pong player, but you make a good speechmaker. If you were 90 pounds lighter, the boys would have carried you out there on their shoulders.
Now, it doesn't even get a big laugh.
No, it doesn't get a big laugh.
But it's a very funny joke.
A great joke.
Because it's a subtle joke saying there's no way that you're going to be going on their shoulders. You have to lose 90 pounds. 80 pounds wouldn't have been as funny. 100 pounds I don't think would have been as funny. 90.
90 is like the 111 of this episode.
Yes.
It's the number. Sometimes the number just
sometimes
works.
Sometimes the numbers work. Exactly.
A number just works.
It's 90 pounds. If you were 90 pounds lighter, it's got that 90 pounds lighter. That's great.
In the previous one's 150 pounds ago.
150 pounds ago.
And now this
exactly.
One's 90.
90. because the other one, it wasn't about the number. It was about a go. 150 pounds a go.
A go, yeah, a go.
Which makes the joke funnier. Yep. And this one, it was just, oh, 90. It's just great. Oh, my God. Well, listen, before we go and before we do trivia, we wanted to thank a pal of ours. I did a show on Saturday right locally in the area, and it was a lot of fun. We had some good comics on the show, and a bunch of people that I work with and friends came out. Louis was there.
I was there.
And our pal, one of our listeners, and now pal, JP, and his dad.
Pal.
And I think his sister came.
Oh, okay.
To the show.
All right.
She wasn't like a, you know, like a honeymoon. She just came for the show.
Okay.
And they came and they brought, they came bearing gifts.
Yes.
And it was not 2,000 matchsticks.
Glued together.
Glued together.
No.
It was, and I put the picture up
of us. The picture's on the page.
Yep. It's on our Honeymooners Facebook page. The first one is the Honeymooners, looks like a TV lunchbox.
Lunchbox, yeah.
And it's in pristine, like, it's like he just bought
it. Yeah, really.
Like, it's in pristine. Condition.
What's that? Your lunchbox? it's great. It's got a picture of them on the front, like a TV and a TV screen, and the handle looks like an antenna.
Like an antenna.
Antenna.
It's just absolutely.
Go on the hall. You can somebody get a better reception.
On the hall. And he also gave us the Honeymooners board game.
Board game
from 1986.
Yeah.
And we have to figure out. Maybe we could do something.
We're going to try to do something with this game.
Do something with this game on the show. I don't know.
We'll fool around with it.
Yeah, we got to tinker with it.
Yep.
But we want to say thank you, JP.
His dad, Hal. Came up from Florida to see us.
Yeah, that's right. He came all the way from Florida to see Joe. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently he wants to get his money back for his flight. But thank you guys so much,
man. They were great. We took a picture with them.
Yeah, we hung out. And I mean, what a great gift. Yeah. And I found out me and JP went to the same high school.
Yeah, you did, yeah.
At different times,
yep.
But yeah, so it was great. It was so much fun. Thank you guys, and thank you everybody who came to the show. It was great, and it was fun for Louis to be there.
We had a good time.
It was good. Yep.
Sold a couple t-shirts.
Yeah, we sold a couple t-shirts. Don't forget, buy your t-shirts, and it's easy. Just go to the Honeymooners podcast website and just click on any of the episodes, and like episode 73, 72, and right under it, there's the link for the t-shirts under every show. Yep. So just go to the Honeymooners podcast on right online, non-productive.com. But you put Honeymooners podcast, it'll come up, and get one of our t-shirts.
Yeah.
They're $20 delivered to
your
door.
Door.
To your door, exactly. We, you know, we're not just selling
your
to our moms.
Is
you
very
know,
dirty. The I'll tell you what, everybody who's got them likes them.
They love them.
They love them. So they're getting, like, attention when people are walking around
with
them. They're, you know, they're telling us people are, you know, like, hey, what's that? You know, the Honeymooners. And
absolutely.
Like you said, they first notice the Honeymooners. They don't know it's the podcast. But,
right.
But it's the attraction of the moon with the Honeymooners in it.
Absolutely.
It's
just,
it's an eye catcher.
Yep. So anybody else, if you want to get one of the shirts, just go on our website and you click on any of the episodes and scroll down a little bit and the link is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll ship it right to your house.
Yeah.
Just a... One iron.
One iron.
One iron.
One each. Iron.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's it.
And that's it. So who can we thank for this episode? Thank Silk City Hot Sauce, of course. The great SilkCityHotSauce.com. Go there, put RX in the coupon code, get yourself 15% off your order and a free bottle of cherry sriracha. And thank you to everyone who listens. All you guys who email us, comment on Facebook, and some of you special pals, you know who you are, like Bibbs and JP and Ira and all you maniacs.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
And Kevin, Mark.
Mark, yeah. Mark, I mean,
they're just
emailing.
They're killers. They're killers.
Mark's great emailing.
They're killers,
Kevin's
dude.
Funny.
They're killers, dude.
They are.
They're absolute killers.
And they slay me.
And share with your friends on social media some of our either episodes or even some of our quick clips, you know, the ones on the YouTube.
Yeah.
Just share them. Put them out on your page. Mm-hmm. You know, we get some more people listening. Yeah. And of course, the great Facebook group, the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge with Joy and Brother Norton.
And Brother Norton has a picture on it with him wearing the shirt.
Yep, absolutely.
So
I think Joy's like, no, I'm not putting my picture
up there with that.
Creeps will start bothering her or something. Because Joy's got a t-shirt too. So go to Facebook group, The Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge. Have a good time
group.
With them.
Good group.
Yep, absolutely. And check out my one-hour comedy DVD CD called Happiness. You can download it anywhere.
We didn't do trivia.
We didn't do trivia.
Yeah, you're getting to the closing. We didn't do the trivia yet.
You can get anywhere, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah. Then we'll just do the trivia and then we'll
scoop. No,
what are we doing?
Got to play the intro.
No, I mean, what kind are you doing today? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm doing the names the same.
You doing names the same?
Yeah.
And
cue the puppets.
Well, now, Tom, who is our first guest, please?
Herb.
Our first guest, ready to leap the first hurdle on his way to the $99,000 answer, is our
courier from Parsippany, New Jersey, Joe Conte.
Yay. All right, here we go. Name's the same.
I want to see your look on your face when you miss it. Okay, we're doing the names the same. Joe loves this category.
Yes.
Like I said, we're running out of them, too. Okay, this is actually a good one.
Okay.
Harry.
How many?
Two.
Two.
But we're going to expand on the Harrys. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, there's Harry from the pool room.
Okay.
My goodness. There's another Harry.
One more Harry.
Do you see him?
No.
You don't see him. Okay. It's not the barber because it's the guy, Harry, playing, but he's not playing Harry the barber.
No, he's not Harry the barber. He's Frank or something like that.
Harry. Do you have a hint? Some sort of hint that's not too...
Let me see. There we go. Now I feel better. from TV or not TV?
I could have been another Harry James.
Actually, I didn't put him in because that's a famous person.
But that's not
Harry. That's not the Harry. No, that's a famous person's name.
TV or not TV?
Julia.
The actor playing... It's Oh, Julia.
Julia. Harry.
Oh, my God. She calls him Harry.
Harry.
I didn't even... I would have never guessed that. Yeah. I remember Julia.
Julia, yeah. Julia.
I remember him saying Julia.
Because I was like, Harry, it's like a weird name for that kind of... You would think it would be like something like Robert.
Yeah.
Or Philip.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, some kind of name like...
Oh, Julia. She's like, oh, Harry.
Rack him up.
Rack him up, Harry.
I'm playing this criminal who just shot a night watcher.
That's a good one, though. That's good.
Now, here's a good one, Joe, with that. Talk about Harry a little bit here. Harry, we got Harry from the pool room.
Mm-hmm.
We have Harry from the Raccoon Lodge and Harry the bus driver. Are these all the same person?
I don't know.
Because in the scene in the locker room with Freddie Muller and Harry, Freddie Muller actually calls him Harry.
He does.
In the locker room, yes.
So he's got to
be. It's the one before Joe Fensterblau walks in.
Right.
Because they're right there. You know, that's just them two. And they're reading the newspaper and they're laughing.
Right.
And he goes,
I
think he says something like, get a load of this, Harry. And he calls him Harry.
Does he really?
Yeah. So I'm saying, wow. So he's Harry the bus driver.
He's Harry.
Now, he's also Harry the pool room attendant, which could be a part time job.
Right.
You know,
of course,
he's just a pool room attendant. He racks the balls up for a couple extra bucks. You know, they must throw him, you know, if somebody wins a game or something, and they may throw him a few.
Harry the barber.
So it could be the same Harry.
That is interesting.
And then he's pontificating at the Raccoon Lodge.
Yeah.
I don't think they say his name there.
No, I don't think so.
So, but we got to assume that's the same Harry.
Got to be the same Harry.
So this is the three characters of Harry.
Three characters of Harry.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, so that's good. No, we got that right.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, that wraps it up. Thank you, everybody. Episode number 74 in the books. And
a sad ending.
Let's do a sad ending. Everybody, RX. And we'll see you next time.
E pluribus raccoonum, night all.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
Yeah. How about tomorrow night?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.